In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. Okay, before getting into our worksheets, like to welcome all of you and tell you what is the primary purpose of this program so that we have a purpose and goal. Our life has a purpose, and as all of you have learned studying your catechism, First Communion, a lot of your confirmation, is the purpose of our life is to get to heaven. We're here to know God, love God, serve God in this life so that we can get to heaven. Now, there are a lot of obstacles on the path, a lot. So one of the best ways for us to get to heaven is by getting to know and to love Jesus, but also through his mother Mary. So the whole thrust of this program is we want to get to heaven. We want to get to heaven. So we want to do all we possibly can in our part to take the right steps to get to heaven. So getting to know Mary, to love Mary, to talk to Mary, see Mary as your spiritual mother, your friend, your guide, is going to be a huge help on the highway to heaven. And I'm not going to be beating around the bush. We've never lived in a world with so many temptations for young people as right now. So I'm going to be honest with you. We've never had a time in which there's so many temptations for young people. And you're living in this time. That does not mean it's going to be impossible for young people to get to heaven. On the contrary, there are going to be more obstacles than when your mom and dad were children and when I was a child, many more obstacles today than, say, back in the 50s or even the 60s or when my parents were brought up in the 30s and 40s, no? Many, many obstacles. So, now more than ever, we have to go to Mary and ask her to protect us, pray for us, and guide us. Now, what is the method that we've established in our program? Okay, there are three basic parts. Maybe you've seen a tripod. Probably still ever see a tripod and then they put a camera on the tripod. Now a tripod means it's got three legs. If you take one of the legs away, then it's gonna fall down. You're gonna break your camera. So this is a spiritual tripod. Okay, the first leg on the tripod will be, we'll go through our worksheets. And the worksheets are going to help you understand what you're going to be doing during the course of the week, what you're going to be praying over. Second is, after I finish the presentation today, you're going to be divided into what's called a sharing group. Each of you will have what is called a facilitator, in which you're going to be divided into a sharing group, in which you're going to get to know who your facilitator is and where you're going to go, because we're a lot. And this week you're just going to get to know who your facilitator is and the others who will be with you. Now, the most important part of the program is not the lecture or the sharing, but those are two legs on the tripod. The most important part of this program is what you're going to be doing every day in your free time with respect to the material that we're going to be giving you. In other words, the free time you have in which you're going to be spending your time with Mary and with Jesus, reading, thinking, and talking to them, that's the very heart or center of this program. By the way, you're starting off your program on one of the greatest feast days in the church. Today we celebrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And all of you have on your binder, you have a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart. It's an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who has so much love for all of us. On the other side, you've got the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the church, when we celebrate the Sacred Heart, usually the following day we celebrate the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But given tomorrow, we celebrate the birthday of one of the greatest saints that actually replaces the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Tomorrow we celebrate the birthday of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist. Okay, now, as I said, the most important part of the program is what you're doing in your free time every day. Many of your parents have done this program with me in Spanish or English. So, the program that I went through with your parents, I decided when I wrote this out for teenagers to cut the program in half. This is exactly half of what your parents did. Your parents did a program of 10 weeks. This is going to be 5 weeks. Your parents were praying an hour. We're going to invite you to pray at least a half an hour. Now, some of you are going to think, well, I've never prayed more than 10 minutes, no? Well, don't be afraid. Half hour, it's really not that long. If you watch a program on TV or a movie, that's going to be 2 hours, a movie. So a half hour, it's really not that long. And you learn how to pray by praying. When I was your age, I played a lot of baseball, and I was in Pony League, and I was a pitcher, and I pitched a no-hitter, if you know anything about baseball. A no-hitter. And the reason is because I practiced throwing the curveball about 1,000 times, and the other 13-year-old boys in Pony League, they'd never seen a curveball, and I was whiffing them right and left. It was like KKK, not the Ku Klux Klan, but KKK means strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Now, how did that happen is that I was practicing throwing the curveball probably 1,000 times. And I arrived at a point where I was able to really perfect throwing it. And a lot of them were actually bailing out of the batter's box because they thought the ball was going to hit them, and it cut right over home base, no? So for us to learn how to pray is like learning how to throw a curveball. Or learning how to, some of you are going to learn how to drive. You have to practice. Otherwise you're going to be hazard for the highway, huh? You have to learn how to cook. If not, you know, you cook, you give it to people, they're going to get sick, end up in the hospital, huh? So everything demands practice. As we say in New York, practice makes perfect, okay? You know, if you do something over and over again, you arrive at a certain perfection in that area. The most important thing we can learn in our lives is to learn to love God through Mary, but through prayer. Prayer is the art of all arts, as St. Alphonsus says. The greatest art is to learn how to pray, but you have to do it. And I think that this program that I wrote, if it's done well, when you finish this program, you will really have a greater knowledge and love for Jesus and Mary. And you'll have a solid foundation on which to build your spiritual life. Solid foundation. Because you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted in many, many ways. If you don't have a solid foundation, you're going to succumb or fall into that temptation. But if you have a solid foundation, and you have the Blessed Mother there to help you, we can overcome all temptations with the help of Jesus and His Mother Mary. Okay? So that's an introduction to our program. What we're going to try to do today is we're going to try to get through some of the worksheets so that you understand where we're heading. Okay? First worksheet that you have, it's the intro worksheet. It says prayer period. Do you have it? And it has a picture of Jesus praying in the garden. So we're going to work on this. All of you have it, and all of you have a pen or a pencil or graphite fingernails. Okay, ready. So I'm going to read the introduction at the top. We're going to start to work on our prayer sheet, because that's the heart of what we're going to be doing this month. Is we're going to be spending time learning to talk to Jesus and Mary. And that's what prayer is. Talking to Jesus and Mary as our best friends. Got a good friend? Got to talk with a friend. Got a best friend? You want to spend a lot of time with that friend. So if Jesus and Mary are your best friends, obviously you want to spend time talking with Him. Talking with Mary. That's the definition that Teresa of Avila gives of prayer. Prayer are two friends talking to each other. Spending a lot of time talking with each other. That's a definition of prayer by St. Teresa of Avila, who's a great saint. Okay, prayer period. Now we'll proceed to enter into this wonderful journey of preparation for our consecration to Jesus through Mary. We will ask Our Lady to pray for us and to pray with us that this might be the best journey and preparation in our lives, leading up to our total consecration to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay, one comment before we get into the fill-ins. Okay, now, where are you going to pray? I think that's a good question. You could come and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the best place. But you might not be able to do that because of time constraints. You have to find, most of you are going to be praying in your home. It's very important that you have a nice, beautiful image of Jesus and Mary. Do you have that in your home? How about in your room? Do you have any nice pictures of Jesus and Mary? If you don't, maybe ask your mom or dad to buy you something, because if you don't have an image of Jesus and Mary, it's harder to pray. It's harder to pray. For example, you come into our church in St. Peter Chanel, people say they really feel God's presence. One is because you got the Blessed Sacrament, but we got beautiful pictures. Beautiful picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Beautiful picture of Divine Mercy. Beautiful statue of Mary. Beautiful statue of St. Joseph. And the new church, we've got almost the same, but we even have more beautiful images. Now, none of us are Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't think. You know? None of you are Jehovah Witnesses? Okay. The Jehovah Witnesses believe that that's practicing idolatry, right? They say you guys are you're worshiping images. How do you respond? We're not worshiping images. We love what it represents. Now tell them, do you have a photo of your mother in Mexico? Yeah. Where is it? In your pocket. Uh-huh, idolatry. You'll give them their own medicine, right? I've got a lot of pictures of my mom and my dad in my room. I'm not worshiping that. But it calls to mind the two people that I love most. One died 8 months ago, and my mom is still living. Both of those persons mean very much to me, and having those images, they make me feel happy. Now, my mom is 4,000 miles away from us in New Hampshire, but if I see that picture, she's almost present to me. So you want to have a nice picture, painting, statue of Jesus and Mary, and St. Joseph too. Not a bad idea to have St. Joseph. So you're in, as the book of Revelation says, the cloud of witnesses. Not the Jehovah Witnesses, but the witnesses which would be the saints. Amen? Okay, we see the picture. That picture is picture of Jesus praying. So I'm going to give you steps on how to meditate. Meditate is another word for using your mind, the faculties in your mind. What are the faculties of your mind? Have you studied philosophy? Memory, imagination, and understanding. Those are three of Thomas Aquinas says the faculties of your mind. You've got a memory, you have an understanding, you have an imagination, right? So those are the three parts of this mental apparatus that God has endowed us with. And we want to use it. We want to use it to pray. You have a memory. Maybe it could improve, right? Understanding could maybe be more refined, more penetrating. Your imagination maybe runs wild, as Teresa Avila calls it, la loca de la casa. So we have to try to train our imagination too. Focus on God and Mary. Okay, the prayer period that you do every day is the very heart of the preparation for your consecration to Jesus through Mary. You're going to be meeting people at school that say, you shouldn't love Mary. Yes, we should love Mary. Mary never draws us away from Jesus. Mary always brings us to Jesus. Mary does not push us away from Jesus. She pushes us toward Jesus. Any of you know the last words that Mary said in the Bible? Mary spoke 7 times at the wedding feast of Cana. John chapter 2, 1 to 12. Her last words, do whatever he tells you. Isn't that good advice? I don't think it's good. I'd use the superlative. Good, better, best, huh? I think that's the best advice in the whole world. What would happen if everyone in the world would heed the advice of Mary? We'd all be on the highway to heaven. So Mary's not going to be blocking. Mary's not a barrier, but she's a bridge. You know the difference between a barrier and a bridge? You ever drive on the highway and you notice that there's a detour? That's a barrier. You come from another country, you always know the United States, the Americans are always working on the roads. Even now in Hawaiian Gardens, they're working on the roads. They're in Carson and Norwalk, okay? Mary's not a detour. She's not a block, but Mary is a bridge. The Golden State Bridge, California. We New Yorkers, the George Washington Bridge, okay? Crossing from Jersey to New York, okay? Mary's a bridge that unites us to Jesus Christ. Mary's like a rainbow. Rainbow that connects. Mary connects us with Jesus. Amen? Okay. The more generous, hardworking, and faithful that you are to your daily prayer period, the more graces and blessings you will receive from your consecration. Following other helps to pray well. Okay, that's an important idea. And it's this. What you give is what you're going to receive. So the whole success of this program depends upon your disposition of heart. Maybe that's a technical word that you understand. I'll explain it in clear English. If you enter in this program with the idea, well, I'm just doing this because my mom afterwards, she's going to be buying me a new phone, so I'll just kind of grunt through it, okay? I'll just kind of force myself through it. Okay, you're not going to get that much. Because you enter with a bad attitude, okay? It's a bad attitude. And you're not going to get that much. But if you enter in with a lot of, they say in Spanish, muchas ganas, no? Or muchas ganas, you know, you enter in with a real desire to do it well. This program could change your life. So it all depends upon you. The word Ignatius uses is magnanimity. That's a big college word. Magna anima. What does that mean? Magna, great, anima, soul. A great soul. Generosity. So, let's really pray that we would enter this with a lot of generosity. And do this program as if it's going to be the last month in your life, preparing yourself to meet your Maker. If you have that idea, okay, I have one month to live, I'm going to really live out this consecration so that when I die, I can go right to heaven. I think you'd all do it, take it pretty seriously. I certainly would. I certainly would, no? So take it seriously as if this is going to be your last spiritual exercise, no? On what you're going to be judged for all eternity. Okay, so let's get into the worksheet. Following our helps to pray well. Okay, when should we pray? Now, there's various responses to that. But I would suggest this. Now, when can we pray? Okay. Early in the morning. Early in the morning. I know you're saying, oh, Father, we're on vacation. Well, make a sacrifice. Maybe do it at 7 o'clock. It's not that early. In school, you probably got up at 5:45, okay? Do it at 7 o'clock. Do it at 7:15. I'm telling you that because if you put it off toward later, it's going to be more complicated. You put it off toward later, you have a lot of summer activities, your friends want to go out with you, you end up, it's already 10:30 at night, and you start to do it, you make the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fall asleep. No, better to do it early. The response to that, when should you pray, is early. Do you see that picture of Jesus? Okay, Mark chapter 1 gives us an idea of a typical day of Jesus. And it says that many of you speak Spanish. Se levantó muy antes de la madrugada. Si habla español, okay? Maybe your Spanish isn't that good. I was all translated in English. Muy antes de la madrugada means way before madrugada, way before dawn. Any of you know what dawn is? Okay, dawn is about what time now in California? About 5:30, right? So Jesus got up way before dawn. What does that mean? I think that'd be 3:30. 3:30, 4 o'clock, huh? I'm not saying that you have to get up at 3:30. I'm not saying that. No. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that we have to try to imitate Jesus at least a little bit and not be lazy. We don't want to be lazy, because if you're lazy as a teenager, you're going to be lazy the rest of your life, no? I say, if you're a lazy teenager, you're going to be lazy when you're 75, okay? Having accomplished nothing in life. Okay? Now's the time to be on fire. Now's the time to tener fuego. Now, to be on fire. Now's the time. Deadbeat teenagers, they're all over the place, huh? Are you a deadbeat? I hope not. So, you're going to have to decide when you're going to pray. You're going to have to decide when you're going to pray. You say, it's impossible for me to pray early in the morning. Okay, then find some other time. You know, it's not written in stone, but it's today I did my meditation, as always, at 5:45 to 7 o'clock. I did an hour and 15 minutes. And I was faithful. I was very, very, very tired. Because last night I was downtown L.A. giving a Marian consecration to 400 to 500 Hispanics. I got back late, so I still got up early. And even with my coffee, I was still very tired. But try to do the best I could. I think God understands. Our body has limits, but whether or not I'm tired or not, doesn't matter. As soon as I hear my alarm clock, what do you do when you hear your alarm clock? Snooze button? Lazy. Yeah. Why did the guy throw the alarm clock out the window? Because he wanted to see time fly, right? Okay. So we want to overcome our laziness. We want to be energetic. Okay, so when should we pray? The example of Jesus, write down, he got up way before dawn. He got up way before dawn. And was absorbed in prayer. He got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. Okay, what does absorbed mean? I'll give you the antonym. It means the opposite. The opposite of being absorbed would be distracted. Okay? Distracted, you know, you're scattered. You're all over the place. Being absorbed is you're concentrating. Jesus was concentrating in his dialogue with God the Father. Okay, where should we pray? Okay, where should we pray? Right in a place where there's silence. You can't be praying when you got the TV on. Can't do that. You can't be praying and you're listening to the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Young people, you've never heard of them before, but that was when I was brought up and raised, okay? Can't be praying. If you got a dog barking, or a cat meowing, or a pig oinking, or your dad snoring, okay? It's going to be more difficult. Okay? So you want to try to find a place where there is silence, because God speaks in silence. Maybe some of you have heard of Elijah, the prophet. He was there in the mountain. He was trying to find God, and God was not in the thunder. God was not in the fire. God was not in the storm, but God was in the gentle breeze. The gentle breeze. You have to have a place where there's going to be silence. Okay, how much time? Well, I'll give you a generic response, then a specific response. He'll say this, the more the better. Amen. The more the better. We put a period there and say, however, at least a half an hour. Okay? Half hour. Look at that. Half hour, there are 24 hours a day. Half hour, it's only about, 3% of the day, right? You divide it mathematically, right? 24 hours, half hour. So it's really not that much, mathematically. We want to be generous with God. And let me tell you this before we move on. As a teacher for many years, I can teach you how to pray. That's what we're doing. I can do that. But giving you the desire to pray, I can't give you that. But to teach you, I can do it. I've been doing it for many, many years. No? I started teaching when I was 14 as a catechist, and I've been doing it into my 60s. So I can give you ideas on how you can pray. But the desire to pray, I can't give that to you. And on a personal note, I want to tell you one of the greatest graces I've ever been given in my life was this. Even as a little child, I really liked to pray, which is a huge gift. When I was 14, I'd walk to school and I'd pray 3 rosaries when I was walking to school when I was 13 or 14. No? Because I had to walk 2 miles and I just prayed on my fingers and, well, took 40 minutes, so I was able to pray 3 rosaries on my hands. And I just reasoned as a teenager, while I'm walking, I might as well talk to Jesus and Mary. And that's what I would do. That's probably why I'm a priest, because even as a teenager, I like to pray. Maybe my mom was praying for me, maybe my grandmother was praying for me, maybe some saint was offering up a sacrifice, but I've always liked to pray. And even to the day, even though prayer was hard at times, but I like to pray. So I'm going to teach you how, but the desire, you have to ask Mary and the Holy Spirit to place that desire within your heart. So I hope that you're going to be getting up each day with a real desire. I really want to do this. I really want to talk to Jesus and Mary. Not begrudgingly, dragging your feet, but with joy. I want to do it with love. That I pray and hope that you'll have that desire, but I can't give it to you. You've got to beg for it. I'll pray for you, but you've got to pray for it also. Okay, next. What physical things can be of great help? Okay, I've already mentioned it, so I'll reiterate what I've said already, okay? Images of Jesus and Mary and the saints. images of Jesus and Mary and the saints. Okay, also, I'm going to give you some other ideas of what can help. Is you can light candles. Yesterday, a doctor from Virginia came in to meet me, and he wanted to meet me because he's been listening to my podcast there in Virginia, and he said he really liked what I say in my talks. And he said whenever he prays, he lights a lot of candles. Because in one of my talks, he said, it's a good idea to have candles. No? You might even burn a little bit of incense. Not marijuana, no, but you know, incense. Some really good aromatic incense. And she got some white smoke. A little bit. A couple of candles. Statue of Jesus and Mary. Got a nice crucifix. Got St. Joseph. Man, you're ready to go. And some of you play sports. You ever hear warm up? I played baseball, cross country, lacrosse. I played a lot of sports, no? I would always warm up before, otherwise you pull a muscle, no? So this is spiritual warm up. You're warming up to God. You have to warm up to God. If you skip these warm up devices, you might be distracted the whole time. So it's good to, I'm giving you a prayer method. Prayer method, no? If you like a prayer method, it's like in Spanish, andamio. You know what that means? A scaffold. You ever see those guys painting buildings? You know what a scaffold is? Scaffold. Okay, once the painting is done on the house, you take the scaffold down. Like ladder and apparatus. So method is kind of like a scaffold. It helps you to pray, but it's not actually prayer itself. It's leading you into prayer. Okay. So, next. Number 5. Okay, there's a young man. See the picture? He's bent over, and in front of him is Jesus Christ. And the cross. It's the risen Lord. So when you're praying, you're talking to Jesus and Mary. And you're not talking to a ghost, okay? Or a phantom. Or a figment of your imagination. You're talking to God. So those images you have, okay, they're symbols. They help you to come in contact with the reality. Is God. You're talking to God. You're talking to Jesus and Mary. Nothing more important than that in the whole world. Nothing more important in the whole world than talking to Jesus and Mary and doing it well and doing it frequently. Okay, number 5. What happens if your conscience is disturbed? Well, that's a very important number. Give you an example. If I go and I'm doing my prayer period, and maybe I hurt someone, maybe I said an unkind word to someone, I can't pray well. What I have to do is I have to tell that person, sorry. Now I've got you have a conscience too. I think my conscience works pretty well. It really goes after me. When I don't do right, my conscience does not leave me at peace. Some of you have heard of Shakespeare. Okay? Some have read Macbeth. Conscience doth make cowards of all of us, huh? So in the quiet of our room, conscience goes after us. Conscience doth make cowards of all of us. Living with a dirty conscience is hell on earth. Excuse my expression. So, you got a bad conscience, hey, go to confession. Any of you ever go to confession? Any Catholics here? You go to confession, you feel much better? Conscience is clean? Ah, I feel like you just took a bath, huh? Feel really good. A new person. Your conscience is clear. So praying with a bad conscience, it's hard. I mean, we can lie to ourselves. Well, I didn't yell at my mother this morning. Come on, don't lie. You did. Tell her you're sorry. Swallow your pride, huh? And then after, okay, you're at peace with mom, you're at peace with God. Let's pray well. Okay. So what happens if your conscience is disturbed? Make a good confession. Make a good confession. Your teenagers, you should go to confession at least once a month, if not more frequently. I'd say every 2 weeks. No? Habit of making a good confession and really help you out. And Mary wants that. Okay, starting off. Okay, we've done the first part, which is our spiritual warm-up. Okay? We've done our calisthenics, our sit-ups, our push-ups, right? Okay? Now we're ready to get onto the playing field. Okay? As we say in baseball, get onto the diamond. Okay? You baseball player, get on the diamond, right? Because it looks like a diamond, the baseball field. Okay. Place, starting off your prayer period, your daily meditation. Steps. Number one. Place myself in the presence of God. Place myself in the presence of God. Okay, still number one, semicolon, it says, imagine Jesus and Mary are looking at you. With great love. Imagine that Jesus and Mary are looking at you with great love. Number two, pray to Mary. And what's going to follow is very important if you want to pray with her. And to the Holy Spirit. Pray to Mary and to the Holy Spirit. Any of you ever read the Bible? You ever hear of the letter of Paul to the Romans? Okay, Romans chapter 8. Says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So St. Paul is saying, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to pray. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit to help you. Once I taught a confirmation class many years ago and the boys were about to be confirmed and asked, who is the Holy Spirit? And no response. Who is the Holy Spirit? Ask three times. Come on, the bishop is going to ask you questions. If you don't respond, they're going to ask, who is your teacher? Father Broom. Okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? And one boy said, the bird. Okay? Well, at least he got the symbol, right? At least you got the symbol. But the Holy Spirit is not the bird. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says He's the gift of gifts. He's the interior teacher. The interior master. So He teaches us how to pray. You beg the Holy Spirit to help you. I mean, the Holy Spirit is always active. We sleep at times. Sometimes we've got inactivity. The Holy Spirit is always active because He's God. He wants to act in you. He wants to act in you. Okay, next. The two texts to read in our program. Okay, it would be the Word of God. Which is the Bible. And the commentary. The Word of God and the commentary. The Word of God, of course, is most important, but I've written a commentary to explain the understanding, the meaning of the Word of God. So you can use both of those as jumping boards to dive into the infinite richness of Jesus and Mary. Okay, next. Method with 3 points. Okay, this is St. Ignatius now. You're going to be using your memory, your understanding, and your will. Your memory, your understanding, and your will. Okay, let's go through how we're going to be using these mental faculties to be able to pray. Okay. Memory means call to mind the topic of your meditation. Call to mind the topic of your meditation. So that means when you're going to be starting off with Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, what do we have? Adam and Eve. So that will be your topic starting your first meditation. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, understanding means you grasp the meaning of the text or the commentary. Grasp the meaning of the text or the commentary. So you got the text, but there's a meaning behind it. That's you're utilizing your understanding. Okay, what about the will? The will or the heart means your affections, affections, your affections, your feelings. So you use your mind, in which you got your memory, your understanding, and then you go into your heart. And when you're in your heart, there are feelings that are flowing from your heart. That's the most important part. So let me give you some example. What would be these affections that flow from your heart? Gratitude. praise, worship, love, sorrow, wonder. Maybe fears all the gamut of the emotions of the human heart can be part of that third part, in which you're opening up your heart, and then the next point is you're talking to God. Talk to Jesus and Mary about this. Okay, colloquy. There we have the word colloquy. Colloquy means a loving conversation with Jesus and Mary. A loving conversation with Jesus and Mary. Now listen, Mary loves all of you very much. I repeat, Mary loves all of you very much. Also, Jesus loves all of you very much. But let me finish that sentence. But Mary wants you to love her back. Yes. Jesus wants you to love him back. You love someone and that person does not love you back. If you read literature in the future, it's called The Heart is Broken. Okay? A lot of literature deals with the broken heart. Okay? The broken heart. You don't want to break the heart of Jesus and Mary, but you want to love the heart of Jesus and Mary. Today is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Right? You want to love him, console him, thank him, worship him, praise him. Everything that is in your heart can be brought to prayer. There's nothing in your heart that you can't bring to Jesus and Mary. And they are the best of listeners. As you start to talk to Jesus and Mary, they're like this right away. Right away, they're like this. And if you want to talk to them an hour, they don't yawn. Okay? Or look at their watch. No? Scratch their nose. No? You want to talk to them 2 hours, they're just warming up. You want to talk to them the whole day, they never get tired. How humble God is. How great God is. How great Jesus and Mary are. And the problem is this. They're never too busy for us, but we're too busy for them. I repeat. They're never too busy for us. But we're too busy for them because we have our plans and projects that are very, very important. I'm being a little bit sarcastic now. Mm-hmm. So in this program, we don't want to be too busy for Jesus and Mary. We want to be available to talk to them. Okay, next is, it says triple colloquy. Triple colloquy. So when you're there with your meditation, It's always good to end with a colloquy, and it can be triple. Triple means talk to Mary, and Jesus, and God the Father. To be honest with you, sometimes when I'm praying, in an hour and 15 minutes, I'll talk with 15 different persons. Talk to Jesus, Mary, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, my guardian angel, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, St. Teresa of Avila. I love to talk to the saints. I don't know about you. Sometimes in my prayer, I talk to 15 different people. Am I doing wrong? I don't think so. We all have to develop our prayer style. Sometimes you just want to talk with a lot of friends of Jesus and Mary. And I think they're happy with that. It's good to talk to the saints. But the heart of our program is we're talking to Jesus and Mary. God the Father too, the Holy Spirit too. So, triple colloquy. Mary, say the Hail Mary. Jesus, maybe some of you know, soul of Christ sanctify me, body of Christ save me. It's called the Anima Christi. And you talk to God the Father. All of you know the Our Father. I hope you know that by now. The Padre Nuestro, you know that. Okay. Now, revision. Revision. You English majors, what does revision mean? It's the re would be called, it's called the prefix, okay? And you got vision. Revision. To see again. That's what it means. Revision. Okay? Vision are your eyes, right? Revision. So you rewind the film of what happened when you're praying, rewind it, and then you try to see, okay, what was God's message to me? What did Jesus and Mary try to tell me in that wonderful prayer period? Now God, we're about 140, 150 today, more or less, God is going to be speaking to all of you in a different way. We're not like I used to work in a General Motors before becoming a priest. We made about 45 cars an hour. Every car was the same on my line. We're not like in a General Motors factory line. No, we're all different. Now, you Californians, maybe have never seen snow. I was brought up and raised in which I saw snow 4 months a year. And if you ever study, maybe even a snowflake, every snowflake is different. Did you know that? There's no snowflake that has the same pattern. How about your fingerprints? You go to the police station, you get your fingerprints, every one of you are going to have different fingerprints. So we all have different prayer styles. So how do you develop a prayer style? By praying. My style, I'm not going to say it's the best in the world, but I have my own style of praying. So you're going to be cultivating your prayer style of talking to Jesus and Mary. So revision means this. You go back and see what God said to you in your meditation. You go back and see what God said to you in your prayer period. ideas that can be written in the revision. Ideas. Okay, your first meditation is going to be taken from Genesis chapter 3, and it's going to be the sin of Adam and Eve. That's going to be your first one. We're going to start off with that. What I did when I was writing this, I gave what is called a literary contrast. Okay? Contrast, what does that mean? You're highlighting the differences between Eve and Mary. There's similarities, but there's differences. What did Eve do? What did she commit? Original sin, right? Where was she when she committed the original sin? Beneath a what? Tree. What did she take from the tree? It doesn't say apple, it says the forbidden fruit, okay? Who was there talking to her? The snake. Who's the snake, symbolic of? Satan, right? And because of that, we all have to die. Okay, how about Mary? Was Mary ever beneath a tree? Did you ever think of that the cross was taken from a tree? You ever think that? Yeah, well, isn't wood come from a tree? So Mary was beneath the tree too. Okay, who talked to Mary in Luke? An angel, right? But that angel was a good angel, not a bad angel, and the name was Gabriel. Did Eve say yes or no to God? No. Did Mary say yes or no to God? Yes. So, Eve ate from the fruit, and we all have to die. We have to eat from the fruit of that tree, which is what? It's Holy Communion. What happened with that soldier? What came out of his heart? Blood and water. What does blood symbolize? Holy Communion, right? The body of blood, soul and divinity. So what I wrote is this. Who are you? Eve or Mary? Who are you, Adam or Jesus? And I think we all have to honestly say, sometimes I'm more like Eve than Mary. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm disobedient. Sometimes the devil tempts me and I don't reject it. Sometimes I'm proud. Sometimes I'm filled with shame. Sometimes I'm afraid of God. Sometimes I don't want to do what's right. Sometimes I'm lazy. Sometimes I eat too much. Sometimes I sleep too much. Hey, that's Eve. Other times I want to do good things. That's Mary. So you write down ideas that can be written in the revision. Write down, okay, my fears, my joys, my doubts, my confusion, my hopes, my dreams, my projects, my insecurities. My desire to love God with my whole heart. Okay, I know I'm speaking fast. You write down most of it. I mean, these are some of many things that have happened in that prayer period. Now next week, We're going to be dividing you into groups now in a minute or two. We've only gotten through one of the worksheets, but that's enough. But we're going to be dividing you into groups today. And after the talk next week, you're going to be sitting around in a circle with your facilitator. And your facilitator, sounds like you're cracking your knuckles, huh? These are pretty strong knuckles, no? Now you broke my finger. Here, you're going to be dividing into groups, and you're going to be sharing with your group one of your revisions. You're going to have five meditations, and if you want to do seven, you can do a repetition of one of the five. So you can do one every day. And the program is saying you have to do at least five. With seven, you're going to have to do a repetition of one of the five. And then you're going to tell the facilitator, well, you know, when I was meditating upon Eve and Mary, you know, sometimes I feel like Eve. I don't want to obey. Sometimes I'm angry. My mother tells me to do something, and I want to say, you know, can butt out, no? Other times, I feel like I want to serve at home. And that's what happened to me in prayer. So I have to admit, I have within me some Eve, some Mary, but I ask the Blessed Mother to help me to be more like her, to imitate her more than imitate Eve. And after I did that, I felt a lot of peace and joy. That would be a typical sharing that you make. You got it? Okay, so a summary. Our tripod, the talk, then your personal prayer period, and then your sharing. Amen? So we're going to close now. I'm going to say with a Hail Mary, and then with the help of our facilitators here, we'll divide you into your group so you know who you're going to be with next week and who's going to be your facilitator. And I'm going to be praying for you that this is going to be the best month in your life. Okay? I'm going to be praying for you that this is going to be the best month in your whole life. Because it's the month in which you're going to fall in love with Jesus and Mary, and that's the best thing we can do in this life. So let's pray together the Hail Holy Queen. Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To Thee do we cry, poor banners, chosen of Eve. Thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weep in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, Your eyes of mercy towards us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of Thy Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. Okay, right now, with the help of our facilitator, we're going to be dividing you into your groups, and you'll get to know where you're going to be going next week. Okay, God bless you, and Mary. Okay, 166. Oh, wow. That's great.